When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's Canine Educator. Thank you guys so much for joining me. It's been a while. Honestly, I have been on the road. I know this is kind of a frequent thing I've been saying, but I have been on the road for a very long time, and it becomes extremely hard to keep up on everything. So we've been filming a lot for the YouTube channel, and we've had, I think, five or six different out-of-state clients that I've been going to, from LA to San Diego to Virginia to Kansas City, back to LA, to where did I just come from? To Miami, and then we're going to Colorado. So anyway, I wanted to hop on here and talk about a video that I put out a couple weeks ago that went semi-viral and is continuing to go crazy. It's a video I did with a German Shepherd. So the reason why I'm putting out this video is because it's going crazy on the internet, on YouTube, but there's also been a lot of people reaching out saying that there's been dog training forums. I shouldn't say dog training forums. That's a complete lie. There's been German Shepherd forums and some dog training like Facebook groups that have been negatively talking about the video, never to me, but always talking about the video in general. The beautiful thing of the internet is you have to have very tough skin if you're going to do anything on the internet and you're going to be scalable or you grow an audience. And so for the last year, we've really been working on the YouTube channel, training basically every, you know, basically putting out all of my content on YouTube. And where it started was, is I just started recording a video and put it out and grew and grew and grew. And so now we're basically it's almost a full-time job at this point, honestly, because we have a lot of growth and it's really exciting and it's a lot of fun. And more importantly, it allows me to connect with people all over the world and it allows me to help people all over the world. So right now, I think we're at 72,000 subscribers, which we've grown like 20,000 subscribers every month for the last 2 months, which has been crazy. But anyway, my point is the more people I reach on the internet, sometimes there's just a lot more that goes with that. And one of these things is negativity, of course. And everything that I do and everything that I've done in my past has been a let's figure this out and hopefully we make progression and the owner gets better and the dog is better. And so that's always been like my thing. That's why I started. I'm very natural at what I do. So moving forward, I started putting out a bunch of videos and this particular video got a lot of traction. And this video is with an aggressive German Shepherd. And the dog, I've been working. See, the funny thing is all of these people, I've never watched any of the videos that people negatively talk about the video. So these are literally people that spend an hour watching this video and from what I've heard, just talk negatively about me as a person and rip me apart in my training methods and how I don't know anything and I never should be handling dogs and all this fun stuff. And like I said, I mean, I've never watched any of these videos. I've been told about them. A lot of people have been like, hey man, just so you know. And I'm like, yeah, it's part of what it is. It is what it is. Like I said, that video is like at 800,000. It's going to hit 1 million within the next probably 30 days. And we just put it out like this last month. So anyway, I wanted to talk about that video really quick because there's been a lot of people who have been telling me that But I shouldn't say a lot. That's really not true at all. There's just been actually two or three people that have been like, hey, just so you know, this guy made this video about you, about this video. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, that's just part of the process. No press is bad press, right? But I wanted to have an opportunity to discuss myself on the podcasting platform. It's probably the smallest platform I have, considering the YouTube and the Facebook and the Instagram and stuff like that. But I wanted to have an opportunity for anybody that comes across this that was wondering about this dog and was wondering what the heck is going on and why I did the things that I did and why the dog did the things that he did. So this is a dog that I've worked with probably three or four times before. So that's one thing that literally the majority of people have no idea about. And the other thing is this was an actual temperament test. So this particular dog, I wasn't actually really training at all. I was actually just showing the owner what the dog is capable of. And I was showing the owner what the dog potentially could do to hopefully enlighten and to really bring to light what this dog actually is. This is the most dominant. It's definitely not the most aggressive dog I've worked with, because this dog is just an a-hole. Pardon my abbreviated swear word, but so he's really dominant for sure. And I mean, this video literally, like, we had people the next day calling me and telling me that this dog actually isn't even a German Shepherd and I should be taking it down. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And granted, these are people who have no idea the work that I've done, who I am. And to be frank, I really don't care what people think. But what I want to make this podcast about is to just bring light to the situation, so other people know watching this video what's going on, because we've gotten hundreds. I mean, 700,000, almost 800,000 views in like 30 days is ridiculous. So that's a lot of people. So we've been getting a lot of questions on the video. So I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. But that's one thing, like, nobody knows about is this dog has been a client of mine for a while. So I got this dog when he was a puppy and he was fine and we worked and we developed. Then this dog went to another trainer, another local trainer. I don't know much information about this trainer. I know that that's all I know, really. And we tend not to get into those things unless we absolutely have to, but whatever training they did, I'm not saying that has caused this behavior, but I want to let people know that this dog went to another trainer, came back to us, to obviously address some of these situations, because we're a behavioral training company, and this particular trainer was not a behavioral training company. So with that being said, I want to just give that background information that we worked with this dog as a puppy. This dog went to another trainer. Don't know what work they did. Don't know if it was good or bad or ugly or great. And then we got the dog back. And we are now dealing with this type of behavior. So this dog started working with one of my other trainers. And he randomly went after her, like you see in this video. And so any dog that is potentially dangerous or to that point of dangerous, like it has actual aggression issues, goes to me. Just because I have the most experience working with these dogs, and it's what I specialize in, and it's the only thing I really like doing. So it went to me, and then we did a session, and we basically just we did like three sessions of evaluating the behavior. So it's funny, because this particular session, my film guy was there. I said, hey, I want to show you what's going on, because this could be a potential risk, or it could be a potential hazard to people if you don't know what we're dealing with. And we really haven't brought it to the surface yet. And I don't want somebody else to do that because we don't know what this dog's capable of and what the triggers are. So we spent about three sessions going over triggers. The dog literally does not care about anything you do unless you touch him. And so for those of you who haven't watched the video, it's the video that the dog tries to go after the owner and then tries to go after me, and I have a catch pole with me. So what had happened was after like this fourth session, that's literally exactly what happened. The other thing that is not stated in the video, is not shown in the video because we don't need to, is there's three other professional trainers plus a couple students in the room. So there's many, many professionals in the room, which you don't see because that's not part of the program. My goal was to simply just show the owner what she had, because I didn't want anybody else to open up that can. And to be honest, I also didn't know what this dog had and what the dog was capable of and how far the dog would go and if the dog would ever shut off. And so, really long story short, if you touch him, he gets very upset. And so any other time he doesn't. Like, and that's what we were talking about, the dominance thing with the dog was, he was really dominant because he doesn't care about anything else. And he doesn't care about literally anything else, except if you touch him or try to get him to do something he doesn't want to do physically, then he becomes nasty and he fights back. And so I was basically just using this session as a temperament test. But I think because the dog looked so nasty, and well, he was kind of nasty, it just went crazy on the internet because people were engaged with this crazy, nasty dog, a pole in my hand and a muzzle. And a lot of people don't know any of the background or any of the context of the, which is the only reason why I hadn't like responded back to any of these other professionals, because I knew confidently that they just thought that I got this random dog in from a random place and put a catch pole on him and dragged him around the room, when that wasn't the case at all. What we did is we did a temperament test to see if the dog would disengage with me. So my goal for the video and besides show the owner like what this dog is capable of turning on was to see if the dog would actually disengage and give up mentally. So this wasn't a physical test, although the only reason why I use the catch pole is simply because I didn't want to choke him out. So the catch pole is I think a 6-foot pole or maybe more, used by animal control officers, which I was one, which is why I had the pole. And we use that to basically catch dogs and pull them out safely, so we can put them into crates, we can put them into vehicles, we can escort them from A to B until they calm down, whatever it is, or even just animals in general. And so I use the catch pole because typically if a 100-pound dog that is trying to eat your face comes after you, it's a fight, and then the dog runs away or the dog goes away, and it doesn't really teach us anything. So what I did was I was like, all right, well, I'm going to use the cat. And it's the first time I've ever done this in dog training. And like I said, it was like a perfect storm of what had really happened, of the catch pole and the aggression and the muzzle, and my video guy being there just kind of went from there. But so I used the catch pole because again, when a dog comes after you like that, your instinct and what you're supposed to do and what you're taught to do is to basically just lift up on the leash and choke the dog out until, it's what they do with like any type of police training or aggression training, is you have to make the dog not breathe in order for them to let go of you. And anyway, so that's besides the point. That's what I didn't want to do with the dog, because I wanted to see if I could kind of battle the dog mentally to see if he would give up. And obviously through that process, I knew that he was going to come after me. And so I just used the catch pole so we could go the distance and I could see if this dog would actually disengage or the dog wouldn't. So those are a couple things that many people didn't realize. One of the biggest things that I think probably the majority of people who did the reviews on this, negative reviews on the videos, they don't realize that I put the second video out, I think the day or the day after, and that second video is literally 10 minutes later in the same day. I take off the muzzle, I drop the catch pole, put him on a leash, feed him treats, put him in a sit, and he goes home. So a lot of people don't realize that either. And so that's why it was kind of comical to see, like, you know, all these dog trainers, these people who, you know, I primarily deal with aggression and work with behavioral cases, and I travel all over the country and work with people all over the world, and I've been doing that for a while, and I would consider myself a very big advocate on a social media platform that advocates for tools and balanced dog training. And it was interesting to see some of my friends reach out and be like, hey man, there's these other balanced dog trainers, air quote, bashing you on this video of you using a catch pole with this dog, and I just want to let you know. And I never watched any of them, because I don't really care what other people think, because that's part of the internet. If I'm gonna put all my stuff on the internet, I can assume that some people are not gonna like it, and I'm okay with that. The other portion to that is for those of you who don't know how YouTube works, I basically subcontract, or I shouldn't say subcontract, I delegate my stuff, because I have so much to do, and I'm wearing a lot of hats of being a dog owner just a business owner in general, and running all of the things that I do, with my online schooling and the YouTube and the podcast and all of the other crazy stuff that I get myself involved in that I probably shouldn't. So I have an SEO guy that does all of my SEO for my YouTube channel, because I don't have the that's not what I'm good at, is analytics and things like that. So, you know, he did the title of aggressive German Shepherd attacks and like all this stuff. So people were really going crazy on this video because they literally thought that I brought the dog in and I put a catch pole on him and I battled him. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is I wasn't trying to train the dog. I knew this dog very well of like what he had the potential to be. I didn't necessarily want to push it myself because it wasn't going to be beneficial for me, but I felt like it was my responsibility to let the dog owner know what she had, instead of, again, somebody else, like a kid or another person. And so I didn't want her to be naive to be like, oh, he's only aggressive during training. It's like, no, he can really open up and be a pretty nasty dog. So we did a lot of management things. And like I said, this dog isn't like this all the time. This dog is only like this under certain circumstances. So I definitely didn't want to paint this dog to be probably the way that he's perceived now, with, like I said, the SEO being the way it was and with how many people watched the video. This was a basic temperament test that literally just looked really nasty, and the dog, you know, got aggressive and got nasty, and he would have bitten me. But the thing was, is I knew when to push and when to pull, and there were a lot of people commenting on my video that were like, you know, every time that he comes after you, you flinch. It's like, it is almost humanly impossible to not flinch when a gigantic dog is trying to take your face off or your arm off. A little bit unpredictable. So he would, in the circumstances, of course, he would build and build and build, and you never really knew when he was going to fire. And so there were multiple times in the video, of course, admittedly, obviously being extremely candid, because why else, whatever the way is there, when you literally put everything on your sleeve and put out all your content for thousands of hundreds of thousands of people to see. I just thought it was kind of interesting how many people were pointing out the fact that I flinched when he came after me, when under the circumstances I was in with this gigantic dog growling at me, it's part of like instinctual nature. Nobody's perfect. And I really don't know one single person in the world that can keep your eyes steady and keep your shoulders straight and not have one muscle flinch when an 80 to 100 pound dog is coming after you randomly, snarling, and you can feel the heat from this dog's face coming at you. So the other thing I wanted to point out too is I wasn't antagonizing the dog by any means. I just wasn't backing down. So this dog would come after me, rah, 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 growl and bite and come after my body. And I kind of just backed up, and then I just held my ground during certain times, and I didn't drag him around with the catch pole at all. So those are a lot of things in that video that I wanted to point out. So if you haven't watched the video, obviously you can go to my channel and watch it. It's just aggressive German Shepherd attacks dog trainer, I think. But like I said, it's kind of going viral. I wanted to make something on some platform to just explain a couple really key components that many people had no idea happened. And of course, I think if they did know, they wouldn't have made the video, because it would have made them, you know, it would have made them probably understand the context of like what is happening. But again, that's part of the, you know, there is positives and negatives to the internet. And that's one of the negative things, is people didn't realize that I've been working with this dog for a while. It was a temperament test, experiment test, to see what the dog would do if pushed. And then, of course, if the dog would back down, which was ultimately my goal, for the dog to disengage and say, okay, you win. And then hopefully over time become, you know, more submissive or less dominant. The other thing is there were multiple other professional dog, very experienced professional dog trainers in the room. Of course, then just also stating that literally, so, and that was a funny thing. And that was the only frustrating thing for me, I'm going to be honest, with like the comments that I received, the thousands of them, of people saying like, I'd like you to take the muzzle off. I'd like you to take the muzzle off. Let's see what the muzzle off would do. And I'm not kidding you, like literally 10 minutes later, I popped the muzzle off, put him on a leash, put him in a sit. And that's the second video, which if you watch the second video, you can see me doing that, which was pretty frustrating for me, because I was like, I did, like, but of course I try not to bleed into the negativity in the internet, because you would have a full-time job responding to people like that. But that's the other thing people didn't realize, is they were saying that this dog would never be trusted again, and he would come at me all the time. And these are people who are, you know, quote unquote professionals, who were saying all these things that literally we had video proof of. They just didn't see the next day video. So I just wanted to make this video or this podcast just to explain that story a little bit. And I hope that anybody that didn't love the video I'm not trying to change anybody's minds about the video, but I wanted to just go over the fact that I wasn't trying to because the other thing that really bothered me too, which was interesting, that I'm at, it's all new to me, like this level of like this video going crazy and social media going crazy because of it. It's all new to me because I literally got like everyone, like there was thousands of people who wrote like, you should watch The Dog Whisperer, or you should watch Cesar Millan, or you should, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I was so confused by how many people commented and was like, you need to go train with Cesar. And I'm like, I have a lot of colleagues that work directly with Cesar on a daily basis. I could probably get Cesar's contact information with a couple text messages. Like, people are like acting like I completely am against Cesar and I am going against his methods and like all this weird stuff. And not to mention like Caesar's the GOAT. Like, I mean, he literally made pathways for dog trainers that nobody else could ever do again. And I look up to him. Like I said, we have a ton of colleagues that collaboratively work together. I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point at the right time. And then not to mention, everyone was telling me that like I need to learn from him and all this stuff, but Caesar's like production company is like literally 10 other people editing and filming, and like they're doing a lot more background stuff than I did with one person of editing out the good, the bad, the ugly to make myself look a certain way. Like, you know, this was just a guy, a video camera, and me and a dog. And I just felt like I wanted to make this podcast just to talk about this video so people understood the context behind it and what I was actually trying to do. So anyway, that's pretty much all I have for this podcast. I encourage you guys to check it out if you haven't yet and just kind of see what's going on in the video. And there's like 10,000 likes and like 1,000 dislikes on the video. So, I mean, I'm not like losing sleep over this, but at the same time, I felt the need to make some sort of public opinion on the video and why I did it and what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And, explaining to people who don't know anything about the video what I did and why. But like I said, there wasn't a ton of heat on it. It wasn't like, you know, like I got like hate mail from it, but people did call my office and leave videos and make videos about it and saying like all this stuff that like, and that's why my friends had reached out to me, is because they were like, they were commenting on the videos that people were posting in these so-called, you know, balanced dog training groups. And they were like, you have never met this person, and the things that you're saying about him are completely wrong. Because a lot of people were attacking me as a person, saying that that I think that I know everything, and they think that I'm like, I'm cocky. And literally, like, these people are like, no, like, this guy calls me all the time for advice. And it was just like a bizarre thing. But the video went crazy, and as things do on social media, you also get crazy people, and that's what I had to run into. So I wanted to just make something publicly so people understood what I did in this video and all of the undiscovered context behind the video and how many things were missing out of the pieces that didn't go in the video, because I didn't expect it to go as crazy. I just wanted people to like know what a real dominant dog was, and I wanted people to really see what dogs are capable of. And more importantly, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I wanted the owner to see what she had at the end of the leash, and I wanted to see if I can break through with the dog to try to get him to submit. And he was like, hell no. It was one of the only dogs that's ever really just fought and just was like, I don't care, dude, I'm not stopping. And my goal wasn't to like do anything but just to get him to lay down and take a breather. And then, you know, like I said, 10 minutes later, I took off the muzzle and he was fine with me. So anyway, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the podcast. I truly, truly do appreciate it. And I appreciate all the support. And I appreciate you guys still being on the podcast and listening to what I have to say. I talk to you next time.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.